Get your Bibles and look in Luke chapter 14. Jesus is in the home of the ruler of one of the Pharisees, which is interesting in and of itself. He's there for a feast. He is there to sit down to a meal in Luke chapter 14 and verse 1, and one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And while Jesus is there, while he is partaking of this feast, he begins to teach as he often would, as he would find teachable moments wherever he went. And as he talked to this host about those he had invited, he even talked to the host about the kind of people he ought to invite over for dinner. Not just his friends, not just those who might pay him back, but even those who could not be able to return the favor and repay him. He said, those are the kind of people you need to have over. He told a parable about talking to them about what kind of seat you ought to take when you come into someone's home for a dinner, that you don't take the best seat, lest you have to be asked to be removed from that, but that you take a lower seat in order that you might be able to be moved up. Maybe you used to sit at the kids' table, and one day you got asked to sit at the big person's table. Well, when you're a kid, don't go sit at the big people's table, because you're just going to get put down every time. But as you grow older, maybe one day, if you keep sitting at the kids' table, you'll be asked to sit at the big person's table. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about, but every time I read this, I think about when I was a kid sitting at the kid table, and that day I finally got to sit at the big people table and realized it wasn't as cool as I really thought it might be. Wanted to go back and sit at the kid table. But one of the people sitting with Jesus in verse 15 says, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus took this occasion to teach to them the parable that we call the parable of the Great Supper. Parable that Rick read to us, and I hope one that is familiar to us already. When Jesus talked to them about the fact that there was a certain man who made a feast and he invited many, and yet many of them began making excuses and would not come. In the immediate application of this particular parable, Jesus was talking to those Jews who were there at that feast with him and was basically telling these Jews, you all are making all sorts of excuses not to accept the feast that the Heavenly Father has prepared for you. And he tells them the day is going to come where that invitation is not going to be yours anymore. And he told them that while that master became very angry, the fact that these individuals began making excuses, that he decided to send out other invitations to invite even more people into this feast. Those people that may not have at first been accepted, may not have first even thought they would have been invited, were the ones who were asked to come and to be a part of this great feast. What does this have to do with us? What does the parable in Luke chapter 14 of the Great Supper have anything to do with us? This morning I want us to just look at three things. I want us to look at the feast. I want us to look at the invitations that are offered. And then I want us to look at the applications that you and I can make of this lesson. First of all, go back to Luke chapter 14 and look at verse number 16, where the Bible says that there was a certain man, and this certain man gave a great supper. And in the context of this parable, in the context of the New Testament, the Bible is saying, Jesus is saying, that God in heaven, God gave a great feast, a great supper. And in the New Testament, that great feast, that great supper is the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is a feast for us to partake of. The gospel of Jesus is that which our hungry souls ought to be starving to partake. Jesus said that God has provided unto us, unto everyone, but specifically to those who are gathered here this morning, to you and I, God has provided us a great feast in the gospel. And he has placed that great feast inside his kingdom. Can you imagine being invited Can you imagine being invited to a great feast offered by the master of this world, and he lays out before you in his kingdom, he lays out before you the feast of the gospel. Have you ever been to a buffet? Don't you love buffets? There's part of what you love about a buffet is you can usually find something that you like. And at a buffet, you don't have to take the stuff that you don't like. A few years ago, we went on a mission trip up to Minnesota. And went through the generosity of one of the members here who had been up there, gave us some money and said, "You need to go to this buffet while you're up there." And he wasn't kidding. We walked into the buffet, and that buffet line was as long as a football field. At least it felt that way. It was as big as a football stadium when you walked into this buffet. If you could think about it, they had it. If you hadn't even heard of it, they had it. They had everything in the world at this buffet. Probably shouldn't tell you this, but it was connected to, as a lot of big, huge, football-sized buffets are, connected to a casino. We had nothing to do with the casino part. We just went into the buffet. But I can see why, when they build casinos, that they stick a buffet, a big, huge buffet. Because, as they say at a buffet, after you eat all that, they got to roll you out. If you're at a casino and you're stuffed with a buffet, you can't even make it out of the building. And so some of these people, I guess, may have got stuck at the casino. That's not a good thought for us to have, so let's go back to the buffet. God has laid out for us a feast that you and I cannot even imagine the wealth, that you and I cannot even imagine the blessings that come with it. And after he laid out this feast, you look at this parable and you see the invitations that were offered. There are in this parable three different invitations that were offered. The first one, the Bible says in Luke chapter 14, down about verse number 18, that he invited, verse 17, says that he invited his servant, told his servant to go out and to invite many, the end of verse 16 says, into this feast. When you see that God did not just invite his favorite few, that God did not, when he made this feast, he did not just invite his best friends over. Have you ever had that kind of a feast where you only invite a few? When God set out his feast, the Bible says that he invited many. You see the breadth of the love of God, where his love was not minimized, his love was maximized. Where the Bible says that he invited everyone. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, God says, whosoever wills, whosoever desires. If you want to come unto God, the Bible says you come. God invites everyone. If you have not responded to the invitation of God yet this morning, it is not because you have not been invited. God invites everyone to his feast. For all who want to drink, he says in Revelation 22, he says, come and take of the water of life freely. He invites everyone because God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says. And he has allowed his grace, the wonderful grace that he has for all of mankind, he's allowed it to appear unto everyone. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says. Have you ever gone to a buffet and they asked you to help serve? You've never been to that kind of buffet, have you? Have you ever gone to a buffet and they asked you to help cook the meals behind the scenes? Have you ever gone to a buffet and they asked you to come and help to lay out the feast for them? Man, if you had to go to that kind of buffet, you wouldn't go, would you? You go to a buffet because you want to feast. Look at what the end of verse 17 says. God says, he sends out this invitation and he says, come, for all things are now ready. God prepared a feast. God had the gospel plan of salvation in mind and in the works from the very beginning. From the very moment that sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, God already had a solution in place to bring about our salvation. The word gospel, the feast that we have, means good news. The good news is that God wants every one of us to be saved, and he has invited all of us to his feast. Probably the part of this parable that you know the best are those excuses that every person that was invited started to make. Look at the wording that's there in Luke chapter 14, verse 18. It says, they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. If you were there, do you think you could have come up with a better excuse than these three examples that we have are? Here's my guess. None of these that are involved in these three excuses were teenagers. Because I think teenagers can come up with the best, most believable excuses of anybody on earth. Don't you agree? David Payne is full agreement with me. I don't think these people were teenagers. Because can you believe these people would actually make these kind of excuses? The first excuse was, I bought a piece of land and I need to go... Wait a minute. I need to go see it. You mean you didn't see the piece of land? See, a teenager would never use an excuse like that. Because a teenager knows that's got a hole in it the size of a Mack truck that somebody's going to drive right. No, that's not believable. Here was somebody who bought a piece of land. But that possession of that land was more important than coming to the feast. The possession of that land was of higher priority to that person than accepting the invitation of the master. But he was polite, by the way. I must go, but I beg you have me excused. Well, at least he was polite in his lousy excuse. The second guy makes an excuse. He says, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Apparently he had already seen them. But he had not taken them for a test drive. I must go prove them. I must go test them. I'm sorry. You bought 10 oxen and you didn't even take them for a test drive? How many cars would you buy until you figured out, you know, maybe I got to figure this out a little bit better. Here was an individual whose work, whose obligations that he had made to someone, maybe his own self. Here is someone who his personal ambitions got in the way of his invitation. Got in the way of partaking of the feast that had been prepared for him. No, I can't come. I've already got to go out to the field and I got to test drive these oxen. I don't have time to come to this feast. Sometimes people let their work get in the way of accepting the invitation of God. John chapter 12, verse 42, the Bible says that there were a great number of, there were some rulers of the synagogue, religious leaders. But they were rulers of the synagogue. Where was their work? Where was their employment? Where were their ambitions? It was all tied up in the Jewish synagogue. The Bible says in John 12, verse 42, that there were a number of those rulers of the synagogues who believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus and what they needed to do to be saved. But the Bible says they were not willing to confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Their ambitions, their desires, their labors, their work got in the way of their obedience, and they were not saved. The individuals who made this excuse about the oxen were not saved. But again, they asked to be excused. And then there was an individual who said, I have married a wife. He didn't even ask for permission. He didn't even say, please excuse me. He said, I married a wife and I cannot come. We see who was wearing the pants in this relationship, don't we? Here was a man who would not take responsibility for his actions. Here was a man who was not the head of his home. Here was a man who allowed family responsibilities, who allowed family relationships as critical, as important as those are. He allowed them to supersede the priority of accepting the invitation of his Lord. In Luke chapter 14, just a few verses after this parable in verse 26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, be careful, that word just means to love less. If anyone comes to me and does not love less his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and even love less his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There is a system of priorities that we must have in serving the Lord. And what we must realize, whether we are Christians or not Christians, if you're not a Christian this morning and there have been a number of excuses that you have made for not becoming a Christian yet, or if you are a Christian and there are a number of excuses that you have tended to make as a Christian and not doing the will of God, what we need to understand is that excuses are not reasons. Excuses, as we see from these three examples in Luke 14, excuses are just a way of expressing what your heart is thinking. And the heart of these people in Luke 14 was thinking, I don't want to go. You ever had one of those kind of invitations? And you tried to come up with a reason why you couldn't go? I've got to wash my hair. No, you don't. Give me a break. Well, I've got to go. Excuses are not reasons. These people came up with excuses because they did not want to accept the invitation. They had something, whether it was their possessions, their ambitions, or their social family ties. They had something that was more important to them than the invitation of their Lord. Let me ask you something this morning. Is there something more important to you than the invitation of God? Is there something more important to you than doing God's bidding? The Bible says at the very last verse of this parable, down in verse 24, that those who were on that original invitation list, those who had chosen to make excuses rather than accept the invitation, the Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 24, that those who had been invited, they are not going to taste of my supper. The day was going to come when it was going to be too late for them. And so the Master, the Lord's reaction to these excuses, down in verse 21, is one of anger. But then what does he do? He doesn't just say, well, close up the doors. We'll just eat it all ourselves. We'll have lots of leftovers for the next few weeks. He sends his servant. And instead of going to those who had been invited originally, he sends his servants to go out with the second invitation to those who are in the streets and the lanes. These would characterize those people that were of a lower class. In the Jewish community, these would have been like the publicans, the tax collectors. These would have been like the harlots or those who were less appealing among the Jewish class. These were the lower class. So the master says, well, forget those who haven't been invited. Go out and invite those who are in the streets and lanes. I believe with this you see the impartiality of God. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have or you don't have. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in or you don't live in. God sends this invitation to everyone. God is no respecter of persons. God invites all because He wants all to come to His feast. When you think about going, when you as a child of God think about going and inviting people from the streets and the lanes, this may require some of us to get out of our comfort zone. Because there are those people that are in our comfort zone that we feel good inviting, but then there are others that, those aren't really my kind of people. The Lord sent His servant to go to those kind of people. And instead of inviting them, the verb that's used here, He says, bring them in. The idea was they hardly even need an invitation. They will be so eager to come. They'll be so surprised that you invited them in the first place. They will be so eager to come and accept the invitation that all you have to do is to offer it to them. Have you ever met people who were truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness? And you didn't have to beg them. You just had to talk to them. And they were eager for this gospel, for this feast. There are a number of you who have been outside this country, who have been to other nations and have come back and talked about how eager individuals were that you met for this book. We live in a nation where we don't find a whole lot of people who are eager to learn and to feast. And what a blessing it is for those of you who have been to other nations to find those where all you have to do is open a Bible and you have people sitting at your feet ready to feast upon the feast of God. God said, just bring them in. So the servant comes and says, we brought them in, but there's still room. Have you ever gone to eat someone's house? Maybe it's been here at a Finger Foods or a fellowship meal of some kind. You get your food and you walk over and you're looking for a seat. You go to the table and you're like, okay, they didn't leave me a seat. Thanks a lot for that. Well, let me go. No, they didn't save me a seat. And you kind of mosey around. Look, well, I don't want to sit with those people anyway. And you're trying to find a seat. Are there seats open at the table of God? Are you going to respond to the invitation to the feast of God and then get there and say, oh, well, God didn't leave me a seat. There's always room at the table of God. If you want to feast on His word, if you want to respond to His invitation. So the master sent out a third invitation. If we've got room, God's response is, if we've got room, we're going to keep on inviting. By the way, you got any room next to you in the auditorium here this morning? You got any vacancies? You got any open seats? The master says, okay, now we're going even further. Not just the streets and lanes. Go out to the highways and the hedges. And as a kid, I was thinking, who lives in the hedges? You know, and then you see this movie about Over the Hedge. And you think, what has that got to do? Go out to the highways and the hedges. The immediate application to the Jews who were sitting there listening to Jesus. These were the Gentiles. Go out to those people who have not yet had the opportunity. Go out to those who have been outside the reach. You go find them. You see the length of God's love here. It doesn't stop. God's love goes to the uttermost. And so He says, you go out there. You find those individuals who have not been invited yet, and you invite them to come. And so the servant goes out. And the instruction that he has in verse 23 is to compel them, persuade them. These Gentiles, they're going to be shocked that you're even speaking to them. Remember when Jesus spoke to that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? And at least she was a Jew, and they were shocked that Jesus was even talking to that Samaritan. That fits in the second invitation. Here's a Gentile. You didn't speak to the Gentiles. You go out, you persuade them that this invitation is even for them as well. Why does God send out this third invitation? Because He wants His house full. There are some families in this congregation who are very good at being hosts, very good at fulfilling God's desires for hospitality. And when they have people over, they have people over. They don't just have enough that can sit around their dining table. They have enough that will fill their homes and then some. God wants His house full. And so He extends this invitation to go out, and you see that God's love is not going to be stopped by man's excuses. You see that man's stubbornness is not going to hinder the invitation of God from getting out. As you think about, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian this morning, as you think about the feast that is yours, as you think about the invitations that have been extended to you, how have you responded? If you're not a Christian this morning, why have you not yet responded to the invitation of Christ? The applications that we make from this lesson, we are going to focus in one particular area in just a moment. But the applications that we need to make from this lesson is a realization that as God has prepared, in this parable, a physical feast, He has prepared for us a great feast of salvation. And some of you have not partaken of that yet. Some of you, you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and most of you probably do if you're here this morning. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus came, that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, He ascended, He sits at the right hand of God? Do you believe that with all of your heart? The Bible says if you believe that, then what you need to do is to turn away from selfish, sinful living. Turn away from trying to do everything your way and say, God, I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to do it your way. Change your mind, which will lead to a change of life. Repent. It's what Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3. Otherwise, you'll perish. And if you'll do what the Bible says, if you'll confess the faith that is in your heart, you can partake of the great feast of salvation that God has for you by being baptized. Not because the Church of Christ says so. That doesn't matter if the Church of Christ says anything. It matters what the Bible says. It matters what Jesus said. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized, that person shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Number one application to make of this lesson this morning is to answer that question. Have I answered the invitation of God to partake of His feast? You know, God has invited. God has sent out His invitation to everyone. He wants all to partake of it. Not just some, not just those who make us comfortable. God wants everyone to partake of His feast. And in the application of this parable, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the servants. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the ones that God is sending out. Sending out to invite others, sending out to those who might be outside our comfort zone, sending out to those who may have never been invited before, sending out to those who may have never thought about what they need to do. We're the servants. And it is very likely that as a Christian you have gone and invited someone and they have made excuses. You've probably invited someone to have a Bible study. You've probably invited someone to worship, and they've made some excuse why they couldn't come. That's on them. That's not on you. What's on you is, have you made excuses why you can't go? Have you, as a child of God, made excuses why you just can't go and extend the invitation of Christ to others? If we make excuses, the same way those in Luke 14 made excuses, then we will be without excuse on the day of judgment. If we reject the commands and the will of God as it's outlined in the Word of God, then let us not be surprised if we ourselves are also rejected. If you are one who is prone to making excuses for fulfilling the will of God, may I plead with you to make excuses no more. To determine in your heart today that says, I am going to accept the invitation of Christ. I am going to extend the invitation of Christ. And if that is rejected, if I am not accepted by others, if that invitation, if there are excuses that are offered, I have at least done what God has called me to do. There is no reason at all, there might be excuses, there's no reason at all that Christ should not be first in our priorities. As we think about an immediate opportunity before us, our members of this congregation know that we're only 2 weeks away from a gospel meeting in this place. There's a feast. A feast is waiting for us in 2 weeks. Neil Pollard from Denver, Colorado will be here. Some of you know Neil. Neil preached in the congregation up in Mechanicsville, Virginia, where Cam Krotz grew up. At the same time that Kirk and Mindy Cruz were up there in college, and Neil performed their wedding ceremony. So there's some people who know Neil and are excited about him coming. We've had him invited since before any of these people ever came here, and we're finally getting him here. He's going to be here in 2 weeks. There's a feast. And as you leave this morning, there's a table out in the lobby that has the invitations for you to take and to give to others. The question on the front of the invitation says, what do I need to know? And when you hand this card to someone, it says, what do I need to know? And they can open it up. And on the inside, see the topics that are going to be discussed. They need to know the essentials. We need to know about the majesty of God, the salvation of God, the providence of God, the holiness of God, about the family of God, and about the hope of God. There are thousands of these invitations waiting for us to use. There's a feast that has been prepared. There are invitations that are ready to go out. And there are applications for you and I to make. The application, a personal application that says, I'm going to be there. I am going to participate. I am going to be in attendance every time the feast is prepared. There are opportunities for us. There's a need for us to determine today that we are going to pray for this gospel meeting. We're going to pray for Neil. We're going to pray for those who are here. We're going to pray for those we invite. We're going to pray for ourselves that we will have more courage to reach out to those who are in need of this feast and invite them to come. That's all God wants you to do, is to invite them. Not to force them, not to make them, but to give them the opportunity. When was the last time you prayed for someone that you were going to invite and then prayed for them after you invited them? We need your help. We couldn't have a gospel meeting if we didn't eat. It wouldn't happen. You can't have a spiritual feast, apparently, without having a physical feast. We have gospel meetings, and that's the worst week for dieting that's known to this congregation. We eat together about 40 times that week. At least it feels that way at the end of the week. We eat together on Sunday. And then we'll have the afternoon service. We eat together lunch every day. We eat together dinner every night of the week during the meeting. We need you there. We need your help. For those of you who are sitting on the ends of the pews, there's two items that are on the ends of those pews. And if you'll take one of each and pass those to everybody else on your pew, maybe you've already done that. There's a little yellow card where we need your help with the sandwiches for our lunches on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday during the gospel meeting. We have a short lesson during lunchtime from 12:15 to 12:45. And during that lesson, we provide sandwiches to everybody who comes. You can come, bring people from your work with you, bring your family, bring anybody with you. It's an easy, short period of time, an easy way to introduce folks to the feast, to the gospel. If you can help, this is especially for ladies, but if you can help with the sandwiches, please fill this out fill out where you can help. And please remember to put your name on the bottom and just leave it on the pew. You don't have to remember to do anything else with it. Just leave it on the pew. Junior high girls, we got a job for you at the end of services, okay? Just leave that yellow card on the pew and indicate where you can help. The last thing we need you to do, and that's where the white postcard comes in, is Neil needs to know that this is a congregation that is serious about the gospel, that is serious about gospel meetings, that is serious about wanting others to know the truth. This is not meant to be a criticism of others. There are some congregations who have gospel meetings because that's what you do every year. You just have a gospel meeting. And they schedule a gospel meeting because that's just when we always schedule it. And they bring in a speaker because we always bring in a speaker. And they do the same thing. And that's not a criticism, and I'm glad that they're having them. But they're having it just because that's what they've always done. We don't have gospel meetings here just because that's what we've always done. We have gospel meetings here because we are serious. I think we are. Serious about brethren reaching out, having an opportunity to invite others to hear the simple, plain gospel. And Neil needs to arrive here excited about this church and excited to preach the gospel. If you will take this postcard, the address is on the screen. If you will address it, Higbee's came from Denver too. I forgot about the Higbee's. And they know Neil as well. Sorry, I left Bob and Jennifer out. I'll pay for that later, I'm sure. Hand address it on the front so that it's personal. And then if you will write a short note to Neil on the back, you don't need to tell him how poor the preaching is here and we need somebody who can really preach and show the rest of the preachers how to do it. We don't need all the disparaging comments about the preachers who are here and we can't wait for a good one to get here. He knows all of that already, okay? Don't tell him the obvious. Tell him what you want him to hear from your heart. And again, if you'll just leave this on the pew, the junior high girls want to come around. And I'm getting a signal that it is not just the junior high girls who want to help, that it's the junior high guys who want to help too. I got a signal that came in, and so junior high guys as well, if you all will go through the auditorium after services and collect everything, if it's filled out or not filled out, collect them all and take them into the office. God has provided a feast for us in His Word. We get to feast on it every day. The gospel meeting is just a special opportunity to provide that feast for others. As you write that card, can you do two things and think about your life and think about your soul? We're going to sing a song in just a minute that's based upon Luke chapter 14. A song that says, "All things are ready. Come to the feast." Hear the invitation. The invitation says, "Whosoever will." Are you a Christian? There's an invitation that Jesus has offered to you to go to heaven. We've talked about what you need to do to have your sins forgiven already. If you're ready to do that this day, with a penitent, faithful, faith-filled heart, if you're ready to confess your faith this morning, then why don't you do that? Come down these aisles. This very day you can be baptized into Christ. The water is ready. We have garments that are already here. We have a water heater that's been working all night to keep the water warm for you. We have a congregation that is ready to sing. All things are ready. The feast is waiting. It's just waiting for you. As a child of God, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you haven't been living faithfully, if we can help you in any way, please come right now as together we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.